ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट नंबर 4। निश्चतम आहा भ्रातरम देवी कृपणा करुणम सते स्नुषेयम् तव कल्याण स्त्रियम् माहंतुम् अर्हसे। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Devaki helplessly, piteously appealed to Kamsa, "My dear brother, all good fortune unto you. Don't kill this girl. She will be your daughter-in-law. Indeed, it is unworthy of you to kill a woman." Purport. Kamsa had previously excused Devaki because he thought that a woman should not be killed, especially when pregnant. But now, by the influence of Maya, he was prepared to kill a woman. Not only a woman, but a small, helpless, newborn child. Devaki wanted to save her brother from this terrible, sinful act. Therefore, she told him, "Don't be so atrocious as to kill a female child. Let there be all good fortune for you. Demons can do anything for their personal benefit, not considering what is pious or vicious." But Devaki, on the contrary, although safe because she had already given birth to her own son, Krishna, was anxious to save the daughter of someone else. This was natural for her. Om Ajnanati Mirandas. Very beautiful purport, small, but at the same time very sublime. And what I liked here is Prabhupada explains, although safe because she had already given birth to her own son, Krishna was anxious to save the daughter of someone else. This was natural for her. In the fifth canto of the Bhagavad, it is explained that Parikshit Maharaj was listening from Shukadeva Goswami and he was narrating about heavenly planets, hellish planet. Usually when someone is suffering, he cannot think about others. It is but natural when there is excessive enjoyment and excessive suffering, one becomes extremely self-absorbed. So when we are self-absorbed, it is extremely difficult even philosophically think about being selfless. Even to the extent in regards to religion and spirituality also. That when we are self-absorbed of our own deliverance, then it doesn't matter to us what happens to the world. Even in regards to spirituality, therefore Prahlad Maharaj condemns this. He doesn't appreciate it so much. So here Parikshit Maharaj, he is hearing, he is about to die within 7 days, maybe 2-3 days already passed. So it is not possible. You have nobody in this world unless one is extremely self-realized, who is freed from all kinds of attachment. You know, he's a jnani, he's karma yogi, he has a shelter of Krishna to think of others. A normal living entity cannot think other than his own self. What will happen to me? What will happen to my family? What will happen to my money? So when Parikshit Maharaj is listening, when Shukadeva Goswami, you know, as the way he was describing Bhagavatam, when he described the heavenly hellish planet. And again, when you describe hellish planet, it was guaranteed for Parikshit Maharaj simply by the connection he had with his family members, Pandavas. There's no question of ever even looking towards that direction also. So naturally, when you know that you're not going to go there, you don't care who is going and who is not going also. So Parikshit Maharaj, it is so brilliant, that brings out the Vaishnava quality. When Parikshit Maharaj heard the description of hellish planet, in fact, I think it was Bhakti Charu Maharaj who was explaining, You don't need to have any description of hell and heaven in the Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is not meant for this kind of description. It talks about pure devotional service. So he's speaking hell and heaven just to test Parikshit Maharaj. Will he be tempted by the heavenly planets? Oh, maybe before I go to the spiritual world, because spiritual world, usually we describe, oh, spiritual world is the place where there is no trouble. No trouble means enjoyment. Our concept of no trouble means enjoyment. But spiritual world is not the place of no trouble. It is not the place of enjoyment. It is not bhoga. It is not tyaga. It is seva. So sometime a living entity may desire, before I go into the realm of service, I want to go into the realm of enjoyment at least one lifetime. These desires could appear. I remember we had one brahmachari. He would say, Bhagwan ke dham jane ke pehle ek baar Gandharva lok mein rehna hai. At least once I want to be in Gandharva lok. Very dangerous desire. But he was honest enough to express. We may not express it very straight, but he was very shamelessly honest to express like that. So Parikshit Maharaj, after hearing the description of hellish planet, he was not at all tempted. And when he heard about the hellish planet, he didn't become indifferent. Rather, he said, oh, is there any way that the living entities who are suffering in such condition can be delivered? And Sukadev Goswami was in ecstasy to see the genuine compassion of Parikshit Maharaj, even in the condition where you cannot be thinking about others. When your situation is very disturbed, when you are in difficulty, just imagine somebody is not getting a food. He has no shelter. No, money is not coming. And the family is bombarding him. When will he bring the money? So in this condition, the philosophy doesn't fit into the brain. What to speak of trying to help others? Very rare souls can do that. So to conceive that I need to help others, ask, is there any solution? So Sukadeva Goswami was extremely happy that such a disciple. And therefore, as a reward, he narrated the story of Ajamil. That how Ajamil was so fallen, and how Krishna, not even Krishna directly, Krishna's holy name delivered Ajamil. He said, there is a process, there is a solution. So similarly here, Devaki, usually, you know, if you want to save your daughter or save your son, save your baby. I remember one devotee in London, Gauri Prabhu, was telling, he read one newspaper article. Somewhere in the remote village in India, one family then had no children. And they were going to all the demigods, going everywhere, wherever anybody promised that you can have a baby. And somebody told them that if you take a blood bath of newborn baby, then you'll get a child. And actually they did that. In one hand, they're expecting that they want a child to raise, express their affection. But that desire to have a child became so obsessive that if I can get my child by any means, they're willing to do. A religious activity also. One may wonder, how can somebody do? No, people do like that. There are many stories like that. Both husband and wife, how can, someone who's asking for a baby choose to kill somebody else's baby and take the blood bath? Of course, when they were taking the blood bath, they were caught by the police and sent to the prison cell. And we read so many such things where a person becomes selfish. Envy or selfishness or wanting to have certain things, then in the name of religion also, people can do anything and everything. And Vaishnava is exactly opposite of that. Vaishnavism, I remember Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was mentioning once, Vaishnavism is not a simply material thing. Okay, these are the things a Vaishnava does. He wears a tilak, he has a kanti mala, always wears dhoti or a sari. This is the external uniform. But that doesn't make one Vaishnav. A Vaishnav is one who naturally feels, you know, beyond his own self. When we don't feel beyond ourselves, we are simply Vaishnav in name only. It has to happen naturally. So Devaki, you know, this was the order of Krishna that you take me. He told Vasudev, take me across Jamuna, bring me to Gokul. They didn't know the way how to save their child. If they knew, they could have done for the previous children also. They were helpless. In that helpless condition, you could only scream, call out, and right in your presence, you are seeing that your child being killed. Again, to see that your child is being killed one after another, and still have the desire to have next child, not for their own sake. This is how people develop detachment. Detachment is caused because of suffering. Now, done it, you know, I don't want to do anything. I don't want child. But here they were not getting any gratification of having child because it was the order of the Lord. Lord had to come. They were going through the same suffering almost every year. That has to lead to great detachment. And they had the detachment, but still they had to overcome the detachment and continue to perform the duty of having a child just so that they can fulfill the orders of the Lord. When Krishna came and he appeared, he told, take me across. And Vasudeva didn't know how it will happen. But it happened. You know, all the guards went to sleep. All the shackles opened up. The gate opened. He walked through the Jamuna. One acharya explains, when Jamuna saw Krishna coming, so she remembered, usually rivers are considered as the wives of the ocean. So she remembered in the last Leela, when Lord Ram came, that Samudradeva made a mistake. He made Lord wait for 3 days. But I'm not going to do that mistake. So even though it was rainy season, you know, she parted, the river parted so that Vasudeva could walk easily and go to Gokul. And then he brought the baby from there. Now Devaki, as a natural materialistic woman, should have felt, she was not a materialistic woman, but usually when we are materialistic, it happens like that. She could have felt safe. Okay, my son is safe. It doesn't matter whether this daughter is not my daughter, even if she dies. As long as my son is safe, it's okay. How Prabhupada catches brilliantly this point. You know, there is a contradiction between Devaki's character and Kamsa's character. Kamsa is becoming more and more mean, and Devaki is becoming more and more compassionate. So this character of also having concern for somebody else is Vaishnavism. Again, in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna heard, Arjuna, when he came to see, he said, take me to the army. I want to see who is there who has come to fight against me. When Krishna heard from Arjuna, he brought straight right in the presence of Bhishma and Drona. He could have taken in front of Dushyasana also. Why in front of Bhishma and Dronacharya? And Dushyasana is not the one who will stay behind. Krishna could have brought and increased the anger in Arjuna. He brought straight in front of Bhishma and Drona. And if you read the purport, Prabhupada explains, Arjuna was already compassionate to his own people. But when he saw the army on the other side, Arjuna's compassion became expansive. It expanded not only to his army, but to the army of the opposite side. They didn't deserve. What they deserved was death. No less than death penalty. Because they were aggressors and Arjuna was not here. Usually sometimes people discuss Mahabharata as, you know, Pandavas were ill-treated by their cousins and this was the right thing for them to do, take a revenge against offenders. It was not a family problem. It may sound like that. It may be presented like that, but it is not like that. They were representing Dharma. They were representing Krishna. They were the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were the justice giver, Pandavas. And now, the power of justice giving was under the control of the criminals. Like you always have, you know, sometime in India it happens. Everywhere, there is a parallel government. There is a state government and there is a mafia also ruling parallelly. And the ministers are always under their control. So, here there was no parallel government. The government was taken over by the mafia. Headed by Duryodhan, Dushyasan, Karna, Shakuni. And unfortunately, there were people who were supporting them. Bhishma, Dronacharya. So when Arjuna saw, you know, all of these people, it was natural for him to become angry. He's a Kshatriya. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was 5 years old, a Kshatriya cannot stand insult. If you read Bhagavatam again, Bhagavatam brings out not only the aspect of pure devotional service, it can teach us psychology also, human psychology. And how Narad Muni so brilliantly preaches. When Dhruva Maharaj was put down by his stepmother, you are not fit to sit on the lap of your father because you have not taken birth in my womb. You can only sit on the lap of your father, you know, if you are born in my womb by the grace of God. And Prabhupada writes, actually she was saying you have to die and come back into my womb, then you can sit. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, usually for a small baby, insult or praise doesn't matter. Doesn't understand. If you say some bad words, you'll not understand. You know, you can pacify very easily. They may cry. You see sometime, children suddenly start crying and within no time they start laughing also. That is the mystical thing. No elderly human being can do it. Once we start crying, it doesn't stop only. Goes for many years. But the baby, small baby, I'm always amused to see, they start crying so loudly and within no time they stop crying. So Narad Muni, Prabhupada writes that. He said, you know, children don't take it seriously. So when Dhruva Maharaj was so insulted, and Narad Muni told him, he said, go and play. The first instruction Narad Muni said, don't take it seriously. He said, go and play, you are a small baby. Dhruva Maharaj did not listen to that. And then Narad Muni tried to give him. First he said, act like a small baby, you are a small child. And then suddenly Narad Muni gave the highest of the stuff. If you see, fourth canto. From saying, you know, don't go and play, you should not take it seriously. And the next thing he says, he is talking to Dhruva Maharaj as if he is talking to a very advanced practitioner of spirituality. He said, one should behave in such a way when you are dealing with superiors, one should worship, take shelter and serve them. And when you are dealing with equals, you befriend them. And when you are dealing with your subordinates, you be compassionate to them. In this way one behaves in this world, the entire world becomes very happy, happy place. Dhruva Maharaj said, it doesn't stick in my brain. He said, I am born Kshatriya and therefore the Kshatriya blood is boiling now. It is boiling. And therefore, if you can tell me something where I can fulfill my desire. And when Narad Muni heard, Narad Muni was amazed. In fact, Narad Muni became wonderstruck. And he said, Aho Teja Kshatriyanam. He said, just see, the Kshatriyas are so wonderful. These Kshatriyas means he is specifically telling about Dhruva Maharaj, that cannot tolerate little infringement in his life. Narad Muni glorified. And again, very interesting, Narad Muni. That Narad Muni doesn't give anything less than pure devotional service. If you read in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Narad Muni blasted Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva is not ordinary student from, you know, kindergarten or, you know, studying in some, you know, some college in suburbs, making all the mistakes. Now, Vyasadeva is an accomplished scholar, empowered incarnation of the Lord, had the capability of writing so many books, one after another books. Sometime for us to write one Vyas Puja offering, it takes 1 year and still people don't write. Nothing is coming. No, nothing is coming. Even those are many experiences. Here Vyasadeva wrote the entire Vedic literature, all the Puranas, Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, Itihasas, you know, churning and without folio, without, you know, all the information. I don't know how he did it. Amazing. Even with all the information, sometime There is so much of difficulty making a one booklet. Vyasadev did all that with sober disposition, and here comes the Narad Muni, and then he gives left, right, center. If you study the first canto of the Bhagavad, he said, how can you give anything less than pure devotional service? Jugupsitam. He said, this is abominable. What is abominable? All what you have written. And he didn't write any novel, you know, imaginary novel. That you can call abominable. He wrote all the Vedic literature meant for, you know, helping the human society, and Narad Muni straight. He's not expressing any excuse. Straight he said, this is abominable what you have written. Giving something nonsense to people, that's what they expect, and you are giving them. Why don't you give them pure devotional service? Why don't give them pure Harikatha? And that very Narad Muni, when Dhruva Maharaj asked for something less, and what kind of material desire? A child may ask very costly toys, which is not affordable by the parents. Then parents become disturbed. Or, you know, in the families, the subordinates may ask the working, earning member, you know, I want 3-bedroom flat, when you could only afford 1-bedroom flat. That is unreasonable, illogical. But here, Dhruva Maharaj's desire, we can't even conceive. He wanted something better than what Lord Brahma had. Better than what his grandfather had. Swayambhuva Manu is the Manu, and Lord Brahmaji is the creator. And Dhruva Maharaj was so shameless to express, I want something better than what Brahmaji has and better than what Manu has. If you can give me that, then please offer that. Otherwise, what you have said is not sticking in my brain. Narad Muni is amazing. He didn't chastise Dhruva Maharaj. Just see, the same Narad Muni who never compromises, he was willing to take the risk of giving something less than pure devotional service. Such a materialistic desire. I don't think anyone in this world who is called as a materialistic has expressed wanting better than what Dhruva Maharaj wanted, other than Hiranyakashipu. Even Ravana was unmatchable. But only thing Prabhupada writes, what Dhruva Maharaj did was, he came in touch with Narad Muni and he wanted a bona fide way to achieve that. An honest means to achieve the material desire, and Narad Muni took that risk knowing his level and he gave him, take it. Take this mantra, all your desires will be fulfilled. What a strategical, you know, preaching by Narad Muni. He would have lost Dhruva Maharaj, he would have said, okay, I don't give anything other than pure thing. You know, don't stand in my way. Get out. Narad Muni would have been not relevant as he is relevant, and Dhruva Maharaj was not glorified as much as he is glorified now. Such a brilliant thing. So, that is the act of a preacher. So, we'll come back to Devaki and Arjun. Now, Arjun is so much, 14 years he prepared. In fact, their entire life was the preparations when they came to Hastinapur. From very beginning, they were treated badly. So naturally, you have to be angry, upset, destroy them. And their Kshatriyas also, they have the right to do. In those times, the Kshatriyas had the right to destroy other Kshatriyas if they misbehaved. And not only they were Kshatriyas, now they are representative of Vishnu. You know, you can do anything in name of Krishna and nobody can catch you. So in this condition, to think about others' welfare is very difficult. When we see someone performing sinful activity, you know, especially when we are new devotees, we just start practicing four regulative principles, some conviction comes, we start practicing four regulative principles, start chanting 16 rounds, hear a very powerful philosophy, and we see some people who are performing sinful activity, the natural tendency is to curse them. Oh, rascal, sinful, they'll go to hell. Anyway, they're going. Why you have to curse them? So we curse. But a Vaishnava is one, when he sees this, then he feels sorry for them. Cursing, if you, somebody is already half dead, and you throw one more stone, you know, stone and kill him, there is no grace, there is no glory. He's already half dead by performing all those sinful activity. So Prabhupada explains that Arjuna became compassionate. And that compassion was the qualification for him to hear Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. that compassion was right, but that compassion was not right in this time, in this circumstance, in this situation. There is no problem with Arjuna's compassion. That is purely Vaishnava compassion. If you see Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita purport, it may sound contradiction in few different purports for different verses, but there is no contradiction. He is talking as a Vaishnava. Arjuna was naturally compassionate, and that was the qualification for him to hear Bhagavad Gita. But it was not at the right time, therefore it was materialistic. Just see, even though it is a genuine compassion, but if you apply in a wrong time, then what happens? It becomes a materialistic compassion. What Arjuna had to do from Krishna's point of view, not from Krishna's point of view, it is not that Krishna, again sometimes people say, Krishna is whimsical. When we define God, God means He can do anything and everything. He is not whimsical. Prabhupada told that story, the Nawab, somewhere in Hyderabad or some bad. So this Nawab, you know, his servant was cleaning a chandelier. One of the crystal stone fell down. And this man realized, the worker realized, now my life is gone. And the Nawab came out, what was it? He said, he was trembling, he said, one crystal fell. He said, drop more crystal stones. One crystal stone was very costly. He said, drop more. And he was trembling. He said, drop more, the sound is very good. So Nawab's enjoyment is what? At the cost of others. That the Nawab is enjoying. So therefore, Prabhupada explains in another place that if you are a mean person, even if you try to do good, it is dangerous. He said, the Ekadashi of tiger. If the tiger decides to Ekadashi, next day, you know, more animals will be killed. So the Ekadashi of the tiger is not beneficial to anybody. Because the tiger will be more hungry, they'll become more wild and kill more animals. So therefore, here Pandavas, Arjuna, was so compassionate. But again, just see how Vedic system, the Varnashram is so brilliant. If you do the right thing at the wrong time, the right thing also becomes wrong. It may be right thing, but if you do it at the wrong time, the right thing also becomes a wrong thing. One who artificially tries to achieve perfection when he is supposed to perform the normal Varnashram duty, then he creates disturbance in the society. When there is desire for mukti, when you are not even ready for, you know, religiosity. Now dharma, artha, kama, moksha is not a philosophy, it's a practicality. Philosophy is for us panchama purushartha. No, that we want to achieve Krishna prem. But to achieve Krishna prem, our material systems are not working properly. Then we may have the concept of love of God, but we don't have the system to achieve that. Then we create violence. Therefore, Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrik Vidimina Aikantika Harer Bhaktir Utpate Vahi Kalpate. Harer Bhaktir. He is not talking materialistic life. Harer Bhaktir Utpate Vahi Kalpate. That creates disturbance in the society. Yesterday we were having, you know, nice memorial celebration for Krishna Chandra Prabhu's father, Arvind Mafatlal, with their family and few devotees. And what we heard from so many of their family members speak was normalcy. You know, behaving normally while keeping Ram in center. Doing everything at the right time. Doing everything at the right time. So if you study the life, you know, went through all phases. And when Ram came in his life, that was the priority. But not at the cost of the duties which he was supposed to perform. And he did it so nicely, sometimes it is unachievable for even great renunciates. Even sometimes immature renunciates can create havoc in the society. But here he was a businessman, a householder, a big family, big name, but kept Krishna Ram in the center in such a way that he did not make any mistake from the spiritual point of view. At the time of his death, he was in his most desired holy place, Chitrakoot, just completed reading Ramayana, you know, some devotees were reading Ramayana for him. As Ramayana was read at 7:05 and 7:08, while taking Jamuna water, you know, looking at the picture of his spiritual master on the day of his guru's appearance, on the day of Prabhupada's disappearance day, he left his body. Nobody preached him heavily. He had only association of his guru for 2.5 years. And taking the instruction of his spiritual master so seriously, loyally, he did what he wanted him to do, keeping Ram in center all the time. Such an amazing example. So here we see Devaki and Arjuna, as a Vaishnava, they had a natural compassion. It cannot be otherwise. Vaishnavism, we cannot understand unless we understand this concept very clearly as Devaki. Selfishness and Vaishnavism are not synonymous. They are opposite to each other. Even in regards to liberation, even if you want to achieve perfection, but your achieving of perfection is causing indifference to the world in regards to the suffering of the world, that leads to hard-heartedness. We were discussing yesterday, usually in this world, the philanthropists are usually they are atheistic. If you study the history of philanthropy people, they are mostly atheistic, or their concept of God is very, you know, vague. Prabhupada always repeats the Daridra Narayan concept, that only poor people are Narayan, therefore serve them. Philosophically off. Or if they are philanthropists, they will say, why God has created like this? Why there is disparity? Why there is suffering? I have got my money, I have got my wealth, I have got my friends. So I'll raise money and remove people from their suffering. And if you ask them, I said, I have nothing to do with God. You know, my interest is, therefore there is such phrase also, the serving hands are better than the praying lips. What is it? It's an atheistic one. And this concept has come because they have seen, now who is responsible for atheism? Like, who is responsible for, you know, many Indians, poor Indians or the people from the backward community, you know, giving up their religion, you know, becoming atheist or joining atheistic religion, going to non-Vedic religion, is caused by pure-hearted Brahmanas only. Not all the Brahmanas, of course. You know, many Brahmanas are also very revolutionary. Madhvacharya was Brahmana, Ramanuja was Brahmana, Shankaracharya was Brahmana, Lord Chaitanya was Brahmana. They were real Brahmanas because their heart was bleeding for suffering souls. So, but usually what happens when we have some position and along with that position there is some kind of purity and there is some philosophy, then we tend to ostracize in the name of contamination, sin, impurity. So the Brahmana community in general, what it did was, it ostracized the lower class. They needed their compassion, their mercy, but rather than showing their mercy, they spoke right philosophy that you are suffering because of your karma, you are sinful, therefore you should be kept away. No, yes, they are suffering because of their karma, but they need your kindness. And because of that, what happened? Because of this, the atheistic religion sprouted. The humanistic religion, but they're atheistic. Now Buddhism is an atheistic religion. Why did it come? Because if you study very clear history, because of the violence of the Vedic religion led to the arise of non-Vedic religion, Buddhism. There is no God in the picture. So philanthropy is usually done by those who are atheistic in nature. And those who are spiritualists, they feel, you know, we have nothing to do with this world. Our interest is to go back to Godhead. Our interest is to achieve perfection. We don't care for doing anything, rectifying this material world. It is cannot be possible. So they are indifferent. But real Vaishnava, if you study Shastra all over, that a Vaishnava is also naturally compassionate when he sees the suffering. Ranti Dev is a Vaishnava. And whom was he feeding? You know, Ranti Dev was willing to give up his life doesn't make any sense. Such a big king has such a bigger responsibility, but he was willing to give his food. After fasting for 48 days, you know, he gave food to Chandala, a Shudra, a Brahmana. You could have said, I can give a Brahmana, but why should I give a Chandala? Why should I give up my life at the cost of Chandala and Shudra? No, he gave him also. Shibi Maharaj. Who is Shibi Maharaj? Now there in the Bhagavatam, Shibi Maharaj, such a big king, he is willing to give flesh to the birds. Ordinary birds. He didn't know it was Indra and Agni. He was willing to cut off his flesh and give it to the bird. Because he was responsible. Again, you read in the Mahabharata, when Yudhishthira Maharaj lost the gambling match, there was lamentation, but the lamentation was not of losing everything. The lamentation of, I have 60,000 students under me. Yudhishthira Maharaj had 60,000 students studying under him, and they are called as Snatakas. Snatakas are, you know, just before they get their degrees. They go for the degree education. And these are the young students, and they were there, 60,000 such students. Yudhishthira Maharaj is sheltering them, giving them food, giving them clothing. Because unless you have these three things, you can't study. As simple as that. Again, if you study the history of India, you know, one scholar writes, he said when the Britishers came, they saw two things. They saw the free education, the Gurukul. The education was free, and they saw the land were very fertile. Unlimited cows. In Bengal, the ratio is 1:10. You find one child or one human being, ratio is 1:10 cows. Cows were going everywhere. Plenty of milk, plenty of yogurt, plenty of ghee. When you have these three things, naturally your brain functions very nicely because the belly is full and pure cow's milk. And the land was fertile because the cow dung was there. So you eat purely, you drink purely. The next thing is that you think purely. That is the second chapter of the Gita. Prabhupada explains, if you are ahara shuddha, sattva shuddhi. If your food is pure, naturally you think about spiritual realization. You cannot perform puja. It is not simply a joke that pahla potoba nantar vitoba. Pahla pet puja baad mein gopal puja. It is but natural for most people. So it is said that then you can think of higher values of life. When you are sufficiently fed, no, there is sustenance, then one can start thinking, what is the purpose of life? Although Prabhupada writes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, usually suffering leads to agnostic tendencies. So what the Britishers did, this is what I have read in the history, and you can also read. So when they came, first year they slaughtered 1 crore cows and dismantled the Gurukul system. When they dismantled the Gurukul system and the cows were destroyed, the agrarian system was destroyed, the Gurukul education system was destroyed, then that led to poverty. Suddenly these two things where the foundation of our culture was destroyed, then naturally people were starving for food and education. Then they introduced their system. At the cost of what? You know, then so many things came up. And then Indians started going to the West to study. Now the colleges, one of our Anand Vrindavan Bhosani was telling me, the place where he goes to college, now within the college campus, just imagine how the college is made. Now our Gopal Garden is made, you know, parents would not be able to sustain that school unless it was, you know, sponsored largely by, again, following in the footsteps of his father, Arvind Mafadlal Krishna Chandra Prabhu. No. That school is not made to make money. That school is made that at the cost of my money, if the children can learn some values, learn some devotional service to Krishna, I'm willing to invest such a opposite values. And he was telling that this college where he goes, there are 16 to 20 divisions of 11th standard. And why so many kids go there? because the attendance is not compulsory. Now he is going for different purpose. You know, Anand Vrindavan Prabhu has sent him for different purpose only. You know, using the disadvantage for outsiders for his advantage. So 16 to 20 divisions are there, and within the college campus, everything is there to break all your values. The dance bar is there, you know, cinema theater is there. You don't have to go for outside, everything is there inside. As much as children give up their values, that much that trust makes more and more money. Just see. You know, destroying the children so that I can make more money, this kind of educational system is so dangerous. So therefore, here Yudhishthira Maharaj became so hurt that I'm not able to support the 60,000 students. He was not worried, I lost my kingdom, you know, I lost the gambling match, I should have won. That was not what he was thinking. I'm not able to feed them. So what he did was, he asked his teacher Daumya, what should I do now? I want to take care of them. Then Daumya said, don't worry. He said, you worship Surya Narayan. He's worshipping sun god, knowing very well that he has the ability, you know, empowered by Krishna to give something. So that's how the Akshaya Patra came. Akshaya Patra was not to feed themselves. Akshaya Patra was meant to feed the students who needed food, shelter and clothing so that they can get their education properly. In Ramayana also we read, Kaushalya, whatever money she would get, she was distributing it to the student community. So this charity, you know, what we saw yesterday, hearing from all of their family members and others, that he was a great philanthropist. You know, he got the award for Lions International Award amongst. He was the only Indian, other than Mother Teresa, of course, she never thought she was an Indian. You know, he was the only Indian who got that award for humanitarian activity. But what was humanitarian activity? Raised, it was developed not because seeing the disparity in the world and concluding an atheistic principle, rather doing all that, keeping Ram in the center. You know, doing sadhana, how much sadhana? You know, sometime we have a difficulty just managing our 16 rounds and not sitting in one place and chanting 16 rounds. Most of the time, many number of devotees are able to chant their 16 rounds because, you know, they use this principle very nicely. Niyamita smaranina kala. Anytime, however, doesn't matter. Just some other finish your 16 round. Keshav Prabhu was saying that for 4 hours, morning 2 hours and evening 2 hours, doing sadhana, sitting in one place. Now, how can you call him as a humanitarian? That is the Vaishnava compassion. Just like Devaki is feeling that I need to protect somebody else's child also. She could have said, oh, no, you know, my son is saved, who cares what happens to this baby? She is pleading, and there was no drama. She was pleading aggressively to Kamsa, don't kill this baby. And she is speaking, because of that compassion, you know, unreasonable things also. What is that unreasonable thing? That you may marry this daughter to your future son. Just see. And you may marry your son with this daughter. So please don't kill. And what is Kamsa's status? Kamsa's status is that he had given up killing Devaki, thinking she was a woman. Now he is willing to kill a newborn baby, and she's a female. As Maharaj was explaining yesterday, you know, he wanted to strike her, and he tried doing it also. Just imagine what cruel heart he had. Therefore, what is Vaishnavism and what is materialism? For us is, you know, our system is, our situation is like, sometime we don't become like Kamsa fully, and we don't have the caliber of becoming like Devaki, but we have the choice to follow in the footsteps of Kamsa. May not be to that extent, but the tendencies are there to become selfish. And we culture selfishness, we might end up becoming Kamsa. But if we culture Devaki's consciousness, then there is a chance that we might become Raganuga Bhaktas. Now what is Raganuga Bhakta? It is not simply imitation of those pastimes. Raganuga Bhakta means having that substance of Devaki, having that substance of Yashoda. Devaki gave birth to Krishna and Krishna said, take me there. Not even one day. Krishna was born, they offered some prayers and Krishna spoke something to them. Then Krishna said, okay, take me out. Devaki could have said, Krishna, why not take us away? You know, let us run away from here. You can do it. He was Lord Narayan. They could have argued with Krishna, why should you go? Why can't you take us and create some other city like Dwarka? They can ask anything from Lord Narayan, but they did not ask. They followed Krishna's instruction, separation from very beginning. And here Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda raised Krishna when he's about to start, you know, giving the fruits of their hard labor. They raised Krishna as a small baby. And when Krishna is about to, you know, take full responsibility of Nanda Maharaj's work, Krishna said, take back to Mathura. So that's how Krishna is. You know, Krishna keeps moving for helping some other devotees. And he asked the previous devotee, now you sacrifice for that some other devotee. In this way, when we understand Krishna consciousness, that Krishna consciousness is not extreme, that we are not interested in perfection at the cost of becoming hard-hearted and extremely selfish. You know, once we understand this principle, then Prahlad Maharaj's statement makes sense. That I am not interested in perfection. My perfection is based upon, you know, helping others. Therefore, this December marathon, you know, which is, I didn't give lecture for this marathon. You know, the verse was like that. The December marathon, you know, is the process through which, you know, to share what we experience, the bliss of Krishna consciousness, to share compassionately, not angrily, you know, that they can share. So on this auspicious occasion of Gita Jayanti, there is a yagya. Baldev Prabhu is, you know, very enthusiastically organizing this Gita Gyan Yagya on the 6th of December, which is Gita Jayanti. You don't need to sit for yagya. You can distribute books. But those who are interested in yagya, sometimes people are not interested in chanting, but they are interested in yagya. So you can invite them for this Gita Dan Yagya. For details, you can contact our Baldev Prabhu and Gokulanand Prabhu. And the December month is the month of marathon. The books are there. You can just pick up as much as you want. No restrictions. And distribute profusely. And even that, you know, just because of their good contacts. Yesterday we forgot to mention that. Because of Krishna Chandra Prabhu and his father, you know, they wrote so many letters. I'll share one example about this book distribution. You know, how you have the contact of the Shrestas and we don't have the contact of the Shrestas, what happens? We were in Aurangabad, Ahmednagar actually, many years back, 1906. And we were distributing books in this kinetic engine. They manufacture auto rickshaws, two-wheelers. And we stood outside the gate trying to distribute books. You know, throughout the day we stayed there. And we only distributed 17 Bhagavad Gitas, maybe 30-40 small books, you know. And then next year, we got a letter. You know, Krishna Chandra Prabhu wrote to the factory owner. And he responded, he said, yes, your people can come to our factory and distribute books. Not only we got to go inside their campus, they gave us the guest room also to stay. And they gave all the bhoga items to cook. So we didn't have to spend money on bhoga. And they gave a beautiful, very nice place to set up our bookstall. And in one day we distributed 2000 Bhagavad Gitas. That is the difference. The difference between when we have the contacts and we don't have contacts. You know, like that, so many places, you know, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Shinaji Prabhu, without any hesitation, they would write. And we would go to different industries. That was a miracle. You go on your own. And the doorkeeper only sends, hey, chal bhaag idhar se. By seeing the sadhu, he said, what is his work here? What will he do here? They chase us away. But you know, just one letter and you go, like that, thousands, literally thousands and thousands of books were distributed. You know, one time we were in Cumin, Kirloskar Cumin in Pune. Again, through them only this letter came. Big company and mostly Maharashtrians. And our Sri Chaitanya Prabhu was, you know, just started coming for book distribution. And his style was not one Gita. And I give them full set. Since we have got this facility of distributing Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book, and that time only first canto, second canto Bhagavatam was there. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, make a big stack. And there was a credit system. Now with that letter you can ask anything from them. You know, they were giving credit system that for next 2 months there will be an installment of their salary. They don't have to pay. And the worker psychology is, as long as I don't need to pay, I can buy anything. That's how other companies, you know, they exploit them. So we use that for our own distributing Prabhupada's books. And then we took those books and they were giving, you know, just stack of books. One of our brahmacharis, his job was, he would break the cases, open the cases, make the stack, and stack it, and two were giving, you know, hello, hey gya, you know, they were speaking in Marathi, Hindi, Marathi, they were giving it. And that night, you know, that was one of the biggest book distribution we ever did. Almost 2000 sets we distributed. 2000 sets included 10 small books in that. Means 20,000 books almost we distributed in one day. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu had to come back to Bombay to collect all the books in the middle of the book distribution. When he, you know, in the night, I remember it was rainy season. We were resting in the Pune Brahmacharya Ashram. And in the middle of the night, you know, I got up. And as I next to me, one brahmacharya was sleeping. And he was saying, hey, gya. Hey, gya. So that is absorption. He said, wow. He said, here is, you know, he's so absorbed in books. Then I didn't sleep only because for 5 minutes he was doing like that. The hands were, you know, moving like that. He was so habituated to do, he kept on doing. For 5 minutes I was amused to see, you know, that is samadhi for devotees. We don't have to artificially close our nose, as Prabhupada said. You know, if we do engage in seva, and it was such a blissful thing, you know, we would not eat. It's not that we were not hungry, that when you have something which you like to do, which gives you happiness, then naturally forget everything. You don't have to artificially try to, you know, fast. We know what happens when we do artificial fast on Nirjala Ekadashi day. Everybody is suffering. There is no realization. What is the realization? That we are so hungry. Our fasting is like the tiger's fast only. Next day, you know, whatever pots are there, whatever, you know, it's just pounced upon by everybody. You know? So, but here, the absorption was so much. Such a bliss was there, the entire, you know, that industry. Cumin, Kirloskar. Almost 80% of the employees took the book. It takes one person in the beginning to say yes. You catch the right man to say yes. Once he says yes, you know, the worker psychology is the mob psychology. If one says no, nobody will buy. And one says yes, and he buys and he shows his books, even those who don't know how to read, they will also buy. Our devotees have experienced it. So therefore, you know, this marathon, as I said, last Sunday, our Baldev Prabhu gave a brilliant class. Last Sunday feast was almost like Tuesday Bhagavatam class. Many functions were there, not many devotees came. But Baldev Prabhu gave a very amazing class on the struggles of Srila Prabhupada. Just gave a beautiful information with a lot of feelings. And we request devotees to listen to what he said. And if he can distribute books, you know, rather than for this month, if you want to go for vacation, give this adventure for your family members, yourself. Take the books, go out, you know, distribute. See the excitement of book distribution. I was fortunate for, you know, traveling 5 years in the bus party. You know, what Narad Muni says, the modern way to experience what Narad Muni says, you can, you know, go through the fields, mines. We used to go through the factories, you know, all different kinds of factories, the plastic producing factory, and then different kind of factories. And that is the, you know, you just take your small vehicle, put some books, Like recently, we have already three bus parties are traveling. One is in Haridwar, you know. One is in somewhere close to Pune. And then one is in Kolhapur. Our brahmacharis are distributing. And they saw one big satsang program of somebody else. You know? And they went there. You know, thousands of people were there. And within 1 hour, they distributed 200 Bhagavad Gitas. 200 Bhagavad Gitas in one day. There was a time here in 1988, we took two years to distribute 2,000 Bhagavad Gitas. And one day in 1994, in one marathon, December marathon, there was an amazing sight. About 40 to 60 vehicles were lined up. It was like a war, you know, going against Pakistan to fight. You know, the war, 40, 60, all devotees brought up their vehicles, small Fiat car, Ambassador, all different kinds of vehicles, you know, put books in their vehicles because we had no car or any vehicle. And they went to so many factories. In one day, we distributed 9,000 Bhagavad Gitas. Where we took 2 years to distribute 2,000, but in one day, we distributed 9,000 Bhagavad Gitas. Why? Because the conviction was there, enthusiasm was there in the devotees, and large number of devotees came. So therefore, on this Prabhupada's marathon, we can, you know, share our joys through these wonderful books. They will get to read such beautiful purports. You know, sometime they are big, according to time, place, circumstances, big purports, and sometime they are very small, short, but very sublime. Very heart-touching. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Grantharar Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Books Marathon ki. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare.